Welcome to Your Gospel here on Gospel for Grampian. Your Gospel is all about making sure that wherever you come from, you'll be able to hear the Gospel. Your Gospel in Gaelic.
Oedd y salmon sy'n y graag i ti yn syl, gynnwch chi yn yn fynch ffein, a chym cebynnech y chrydysan, nas clysere, a chym i efeithi hi o'r iegau. Oedd chadwch ti y fach dyn hwyl, a chym cyndiet i gen syl, a chym cym i gen syl y dyhyrwch trid sy'n.
Your gospel aims to make the gospel available in languages from around the world. It's taken from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Look out for more from Your Gospel at the top of the hour, every hour, on Gospel for Grampian. listen.g4g.org.uk. If you'd like to catch up with our podcasts, then it's podcast.g4g.
Engaging, equipping, enabling, life-changing radio is the gospel for Grampian, living life to the full. We believe that God calls you to live your life to the full, to express all the aspects of divine life. God is present not just in the religious worship, but also in the everyday life, in your work life, in your parenting life, in your children life, in your social life, wherever life takes you. We want this radio to go with you, and we want to resource your life with divine life. Live life to the full. The best life is in Christ. This radio to go with you, and we want to resource your life with divine life. Live life to the full. The best life is in Christ.
Good afternoon and welcome along to the Community Elements Show. And in this show today, we start off with Brian's good news. Brian is a very special gentleman who comes in and he collates good news stories from the local newspaper, mainly the Evening Express, and sometimes from other local newspapers as well. And these are news stories that inspire. So we're starting off with that, but after that we have another amount of inspiration, and this is coming from Graham Saunderson, who is the representative in Larne in the Emerald Isle, that for Glory Road Ministries. Glory Road Ministries was set up in Gloucestershire to be there for truckers and lorry drivers, and well, over the years they have been spreading across the UK, slowly but steadily. And as you'll hear from Graham later, it's having a profound impact on the many drivers who he comes across, certainly. And we're excited to be able to do something with them. Let's face it, lorry drivers, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a lot of what we do now. We wouldn't have things in the supermarket. We wouldn't be able to enjoy being able to pick up and have Amazon or whatever online goods delivered direct to us. We probably might not even be able to drive cars. So these men and women are unsung heroes. They ply the roads. They're often on their own with their own individual thoughts. And Glory Road Ministries is there for them. They do need someone, and it's there to tell them about Christ. It's also there to provide that support, and just to provide a loving support so that people, at the very least, know that there's someone there for them that they can turn to. Let's get into Brian's good news. Good afternoon. Welcome along to the Community Elements Show. We're starting this Community Elements Show with a chat to Brian. In fact, Brian's good news, and you're starting off with an animal story, and is it on the picture that you have there, Brian, is an owl that I like very much. And that's the eagle owl. He's fantastic.
It is indeed. Excellent. Flurry Owls brought smiles to the faces of pensioners when they visited a care home in the city. The Bob's Buddies creatures were taken to Granum Care Home in Dainston to brighten up the days of those living in the facility. The pensioners were given the chance to get up close to the birds of prey while learning about their lives. During the visits, the raptors were taken to the EMI unit, which cares for patients with Alzheimer's and dementia. Lonmy-based company Bob's Buddies had a range of owls of different breeds and sizes, which are cared for by William Lawson and his assistant. Staff at the home said residents thoroughly enjoyed the experience, and one pensioner, Estella Morris, said the unusual visitors just made her day. Other residents, such as Mary Meredith, Hazel Midler, and Betty Watson, also took part in the activities. Service manager Val Buchan said, "We had them in for 2 afternoons. They all really enjoyed it. Some of them were quite brave with the owls. One of our ladies was trying to stroke one of them. They all thoroughly enjoyed themselves. It was a wonderful experience to see." The visit was organised by the care home's activities coordinator, who said the raptors were brought in as therapy animals as part of a range of different activities organised for residents. The city's critter keeper, who handles exotic creatures such as reptiles and spiders, had also visited the home. It is operated by Homes Care Group. The facility was previously praised for its commitment to continuing improving the quality of life for the residents living in the home by the Care Inspectorate in a report made earlier this year. Six city residents have been presented with a top civic medal. The Lord Provost of Aberdeen, Barney Crockett, handed the honorees their British Empire medals at a special ceremony held at the city's townhouse yesterday. David Murray, Charles Bain, Claire Haggart, Liz Mill, Hazel McCallan and Helena Anderson Wright each received a medal recognising their service to the local community. Mr. Murray from Dice received a BEM for his voluntary work with the Red Cross, spanning more than 20 years. He was involved in looking after 17 Romanian migrant workers who were living and working in Skye after being trafficked into the country. David said the Serious Organised Crime Agency had raided the cottage where they were staying in and asked if we could set up something to look after the individuals, which we did for quite some time. We fed them, made sure they were clothed and had somewhere warm to stay. My wife and I took 5 of them who wanted to return to Romania from Skye to Glasgow so they could get back. Charles Bain from Bridge of Dawn received the medal for his fundraising efforts which support Aberdeen University's Development Trust in undertaking dementia research. He has raised a total of £300,000 to date to buy essential technical equipment that allows professors to investigate the reasons why Alzheimer's and dementia occurs and sponsor students at the university to do the same. My father was diagnosed with dementia and then my father-in-law got it at the same time, so my wife and I had 2 parents with dementia. It was dreadful to see how they deteriorated, and that was what spurred me on to make a difference. I'm very proud to be here today, if only my mother and father-in-law could see me now. Mrs. Haggart from Bealeside and Mrs. Milne from Miltimber both received BEMs for services to theatre and the arts in the North East. The pair run the Phoenix Theatre Company alongside working with local charities and hope to pass on their skills in performing arts to children in the region. Claire said, "We've supported some very underfunded charities and passed that on to people that we teach now. It's a legacy which we're really proud of, especially organisations like Grampian Woman Aid. Our students do an amazing amount for them." Mrs. McCallan was honoured for her services at Balnagas Community Centre, where she has been involved for more than 3 decades, particularly helping lonely elderly people socialise. Mrs. Anderson Wright was recognised for her services to art and encouraging the development of music and poetry in schools. A food bank for dogs, set up to help pet owners facing financial difficulties, has been hailed as a great success. The initiative, believed to be the first of its kind in the Northeast, was set up in July by STAR, which means Seton Taking Action for Regeneration Community Flat, and Mrs. Murray's Home for Stray Dogs and Cats. Emergency food packs are handed out to people who have fallen on hard times and could face giving up their pets because they can't afford to feed them. Staff at the animal rescue shelter have so far handed out 30 packs for dogs and even 2 emergency supplies for cats. Now, dog and cat homes are setting up similar schemes in other parts of the country, with a leading pet charity in Edinburgh launching a similar initiative last week. Mary Simpson, manager of Mrs. Murray's Rehoming Centre, said, "The pet food bank has been a great success for those in need of it, and now other centres are getting up similar schemes, which shows how much it is needed. It does help those who really need it. We have worked alongside the Star Community Flat in Seton to issue vouchers, and those who collect the food are always so grateful. It helps people who are struggling and ensures those who need a little help to tide them over have somewhere to turn to. We have had people hand in donations specifically for the food bank. The parcels have been handed out to people mainly based in the Seton area, but anyone, in fact, in need can go to the Star Flat to get a voucher. Sometimes just a little assistance with feeding costs can be the difference between keeping your much-loved pet and companion or having to rehome them. Anyone in need of a parcel can collect a food voucher from the Star Community Flat on Seton Drive in Aberdeen. Vouchers can then be handed over to staff at Mrs. Murray's Home for Stray Dogs and Cats in exchange for food. The home depends largely on donations. To help, visit bit.ly/2GI3N7U. A mum has spoken of her joy after her son returned to school following life-changing surgery. The Carella family from Portlethen jetted off to America last month after fundraising for 11-year-old Luca, who has cerebral palsy, to have an operation. Mum Elena, Dad Matthew and brother Matty travelled to St. Louis, where Luca underwent surgery on his spine. The Portlethen Academy school pupil was born premature and diagnosed with the condition when he was just 7 months old. Luca currently needs a wheelchair when outdoors and can only walk a short distance with a walking frame. The youngster underwent a selective dorsal rhizotomy on his spine at the end of August, which will relieve pain and help build his muscles. The procedure took place at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, which is known as the most advanced facility for SDR. Luca, who is a keen YouTuber, is steadily improving, and Elena said the hard work will now begin with physiotherapy sessions at least 5 times a week. While it is early days, Luca is getting better on his feet and she is hopeful one day he won't need a wheelchair and instead will walk with crutches. She added, "Luca is doing fine and he has made a lot of progress. He's now having to use muscles he had never used, so we have to build the strength in them. He is sleeping with a knee brace and a leg splint, so he looks a bit like Robocop. It is hard because he is a kid and wants to play, but he's been really good with it all. We tell him he can play after he does his exercise." Originally from Romania, Luca moved to the Northeast with his parents in 2011. Elena previously said she only became aware of the SDR surgery after reading about the procedure in an Evening Express article. Luca is now looking forward to the future and has high hopes of attending a YouTube convention next year. Elena said, "We said he can go to the YouTube convention if he works hard. Luca is more motivated and working hard on his rehabilitation." The doctor said he was okay to go back to school 3 or 4 weeks after surgery. Everyone was happy to see him, and there were some tears. It was such a warm welcome back. We have a scripture today taken from Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, which says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?" Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brian. And again, good choice of news stories. I think we can actually begin with the story of Luca. And he seems to have got very loving and wonderful parents who are prepared to go to great lengths to help him, and great lengths indeed to encourage him and to stretch him.
And I'm impressed, you know, when he went back to school, there were tears. Now, that's from other pupils as well. Mm. They obviously appreciate him and love him. Mm-hmm. Despite the problems that he's been going through, he is coming through.
He is coming through, and yeah, it's testament to how the operation and the surgery that he's had, but it's enabling him to be able to do so much more now.
Exactly.
And amazing what they can do with the spine and what they can do to help.
And you can just imagine that Elena is so joyous for the advance that Luca is making. Brilliant, yeah. I'd say.
Definitely. Well, come, there's also the pet food bank. And I didn't even realise that there was such a pet food bank, but people need their pets and their pets need people. But it was brought home to me by a friend of ours, one of my colleagues, who just lost their dog on Tuesday.
Oh.
And he wrote a very poignant and telling script on Facebook. It was almost poetic, but it showed his great love for his animal.
Uh-huh.
His great love for his pet, who was called Daisy. And I remember that dog, well, Daisy, but she was found to have cancer, and I think that was actually in her spine, and a node leaked out, and she just couldn't take any more. But she didn't know what was wrong with her, but she was always there. She was a golden retriever, and she was a golden Labrador, and she would come bounding over to me, you see, and always with a big smile on her face. She was the most gentle, really, of animals, and she didn't really. She was always usually very good with other dogs. Sometimes she might growl a wee, bark a wee bit if they got a bit too friendly. But
she obviously enjoyed her life.
Yeah, but she enjoyed her life and she enjoyed who she was with. So I can understand how pets can be therapeutic, which then, of course, leads us to the first of the news stories about the owls and really therapets, bringing owls in. I mean, that would, if I was in a nursing home, that would liven my day up a tremendous amount.
So.
And seeing eagle owls, which I have to say, well, I like barn owls, I like tawny owls, short-eared owls, but eagle owls are my favourite. They've just got that look about them. They've got little tufts on their ears as well. Just got something about the owl is so amazing.
And they always give me the impression when I see them, maybe at a zoo or something, of being calm.
Yeah, they're calm. They're in control.
Yes.
And
that transmits to the people who see them.
Yes.
Which is very important, I think.
And owls are always considered to be really quite wise as well. My mum is Dutch, and I know she'll be listening to this on a Sunday. And because she's Dutch, there was a story character called Meneer de Owl that really, I think, is like the wise owl. Sometimes he slept, sometimes he was awake, but he was always there and listening and taking note of what
was happening.
I think people, not people, but other owls would come to him. Animals would come to him for advice. But he was always there, listening and taking everything in.
And ours, yes, had an amazing effect on other people. So it's hats off to them for doing that. And one of the things we try to do, Brian, with your good news, is when you pick up on good news, we try to tell the organisations involved that they have been picked up, that their work has been recognised. So it is with the next stories, the second story about the six city residents that have been presented with British Empire medals, and all for different things, but they're obviously considered to be worthy recipients.
Great achievements, each and every one of them.
Yeah, so the work with the Red Cross, spanning 20 years, looking after the migrant workers, for instance.
Mm.
There's a fundraising event supporting Aberdeen University's Development Trust in undertaking dementia research. There was actually something on the news recently, on BBC News, about dementia research and some exciting things that were happening there, which is really good. And so the £300,000 raised by Charles Bain by the essential equipment is really quite amazing. And then...
And there's a photograph here of those who are receiving the EMs, and it includes, of course, Lord Provost Barney Crockett. Now, he's got a lovely smile on his face because he's so touched by these achievements. And I've actually met his wife and she reiterated how amazed he was at the achievements.
Yes, well, that both he and his wife have... they're genuine, they're heartfelt, they're down-to-earth.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's a real smile and a genuine smile at that.
Exactly.
I mean, sometimes you can meet folk who are in high office and they put on a fixed smile. But this is a genuine smile.
Very much so.
And these people should be really proud. And a lady who had received a BM for services to theatre and arts. And it really is great. And the services at Barnegas Community Centre, helping elderly people socialise. I wouldn't be at all surprised if the therapists hadn't been along there too.
Well, yeah, probably.
But anyway...
Well worthwhile.
It's a good job that everyone is doing, and hats off to them. And may they continue doing the good work that they're doing.
Yes, indeed.
Right, Brian, can we get you to read out the scripture?
Yes, indeed. From Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, which says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?" He is important.
He is important. And as
crucial.
The names of God suggest, El Echad, the one God.
Important.
Brian, thank you very much for that.
And my pleasure.
And we'll be back again next week, same time. This is Gospel for Grampian, engaging, equipping, enabling communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre.
Well, good afternoon if you've just joined us. This is Gospel for Grampian. This is the Community Element Show. And we come on now to our second Community Element. And we're taking and thinking about truckers and drivers, people that we take so much for granted. And I'm pleased to say that there is a ministry out there called Glory Road Ministries, and it's a national faith-based ministry manned mostly by Christian truck drivers. They do not ask for funding, but believe that God will provide, and has already during the life of the Glory Road in the past, well, I'm sure even over 11 years now. Glory Road understands the lives of the 500,000 drivers in the UK, the problems and difficulties they face with finance, health and relationships. They speak to drivers daily and have a 24-hour phone support through their long hours that they're on the road. They also have book stands. But right now, I'm going to be speaking. We've got Graham Saunderson, who's on the road, on the line now from the Emerald Isle. Welcome along to the programme.
Thank you very much indeed.
Right, whereabouts are you based, first of all, in the Emerald Isle?
I'm based in Larne, which is on the east coast of Antrim, County Antrim, just up near the harbour, Larne Harbour, Larne Stranraer.
I remember having been there once, and certainly have very good memories of the Antrim Glens in County Antrim and the welcome we received there. So really good. What's your main role with Glory Road Ministries?
The main role is doing the over the summer period for the truck shows, places like that, and also at the truck stops such as Apple Green, and anywhere we see a truck stop, we stop. Understand me now, we have about approximately 120,000 truck drivers in the whole of Ireland or South East West. So obviously it's a big congregation. It's a great opportunity. I myself drove for some 30 years, and I know what sort of a life they live, the obstacles, the good times. So that's where we are here today.
Okay, and right now, you although you drive, you I believe you own a, is it a courier firm? What sort of firm do you run at the moment?
Well, actually, no. I'm actually retired from the driving because I'm sort of past that stage now of driving, but not to worry. We still do a bit of the outreach work. Also do a work among cars and served my time as motor mechanic to begin with. Spent some time in the Faith Mission Bible College in Edinburgh. So I know a good bit of the outreach part, and it's just quite interesting. When we approach drivers, I think the first time, first question or two they would ask to sift you out is, did you ever drive a lorry? I said, yes, for 30 years. So then they open up just like a flower, as if, well, at least you know where we stand and where we sit down and everything about us, so they're prepared to talk to us.
Well, that's always a very good, important starting point, I'm sure. And you've been with Glory Road Ministries for how long now?
We launched it in the 7th of June 15 here in Ireland.
Okay, and of course it was going throughout the UK before then.
Yes, well, I have never been involved with them. To be quite honest, I didn't even know they existed until some few months prior to the 7th of 15. So,
okay, so
very interesting.
So that would have been quite a revelation for you, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it was tremendous. When I went out the first Christmas, we had those bottle bags full of little goodies for the drivers, especially who go back and forward to the UK and the continent. So it was an eye-opener whenever we come against some of the, or come across some of the hauliers. They're absolutely amazed that even such an organisation exists, and they thought it was tremendous that we're out to help the drivers in every aspect of their lives. Some of them find it very difficult, especially when they're away for weeks on end from their home and family, and they do a lot of thinking. I know what it's like. I've stayed out overnight a time or two, or a few times, should I say, down in the south of Ireland during the time I was driving, and it is an experience because you're a loner, you're on your own. And that's the way they live, and that can be very, very difficult for some of the guys.
I can only imagine what that must be like, and what, out of interest, what sort of thoughts are going through, would have been going through your mind in a typical trucker's mind while they were driving along?
Wonder what's happening at home. How did so-and-so get on with such-and-such? And in every circumstance and situation, it seems to get much bigger than what it really is. It sort of exaggerate, you were inclined to exaggerate something that goes through your mind, and especially if you're lying there in the bunk and something comes across your mind that was important, and it's maybe tenfold than what it should be, and it annoys you, it gets to you, and, well, you can sort of put two and two together at times. I think the best thing to do is just get up, out, and go for a walk and come back again, because it can be somewhat difficult.
As an extra question, how are you able to marry your faith with being a truck driver and understanding all these things?
Yes, it's very much trusting in the Lord. I became a Christian when I was 17 years old. I have had faith right up through the years, and I'm now 71, and I must admit it has been quite an experience. And the Lord gave me a promise in 1972. I didn't know what it was about. I couldn't understand it. It made no sense to me. In fact, if you really want to know, it's in Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. It made no sense whatsoever. Down through the years, I pondered. It never left me. It was always there. And I says to myself, well, what's this all about? Until I was invited to go to a Glory Road meeting in a Baptist church here in Northern Ireland. And I knew as soon as I heard Keith speaking about Glory Road, I says, that's it. And it has been it ever since. And I just couldn't wait till I got started. So this is where I am and this is where I will be until the Lord calls me home.
That's wonderful. I think when you suddenly finally realise what it is that maybe a scripture or your vision is actually about, I got given three words a long time ago, unity of response, and I wondered how it affected what I was doing. I understand it now, but it took a long time, and sometimes it's a bit perplexing. So I think for everyone who's got either a word or a scripture and is waiting on that, just keep waiting. I think that's probably the best thing to say, really, isn't it?
That's right. 6 months prior to me coming across and meeting the Glory Road men in that church, I had been had a doctor appointment, obviously, and the best thing about it was my doctor was a believer in the Lord. And he just happened to say to me, well, how's things going for you? And I says, well, doctor, it's as simple as this. I think the Lord has forgotten about me. No, he hasn't finished with you yet. And within a few months, they appeared, and I took it on board right away. I knew it was me that God was speaking to. There was no one else. As far as I was concerned, there was no one else in the church that night. And I knew this was it. And this is where I am. And this is where I'm going to be remaining. So praise God for that.
Definitely. Since joining Glory Road Ministries, what have been the main challenges for you in reaching out to lorry drivers?
Realising that there is a need out there much, much bigger than I ever realized. Oftentimes I have said, Lord, how can I handle this? It's so big. But I discovered my God is bigger. And every situation that I come face to face with, I find it amazing how words come to my mind, scriptures come to my thoughts in every situation. And they look at me as if to say, you are gifted for this job. Well, to be quite honest, I didn't think that at the beginning. And I know there was scripture given to me whenever I was 23 years old. The scripture hit me one night at a prayer time, prayer meeting in a little mission hall near where I was living. And the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour that what you ought to say. That never left me. I can see now how it's been fulfilled. It doesn't matter what question is thrown at me. I've always an answer. And it's not Graham Saunderson. It's the Holy Spirit. And I give God praise for that.
Now that is quite amazing. I can certainly testify to that from by way of programs, not necessarily knowing quite what to say or even starting off an interview. I put it before God, I leave it in God's hands, and then God provides me with the words to say, and that's all I can say. He just does. It's fantastic.
Amen.
Right. Can you give some examples of truckers and drivers who have been impacted as a result of Glory Road Ministries?
A couple of years ago, just in my head, we had been at the Dublin truck show, and it was coming towards the conclusion of the show, and we had the van there, and everything was on display, and this guy came along, and he looks at his stall, and he walks around it, and walked around it and said nothing. And then I picked up courage. I says, well, are you interested in what we have on the table? Obviously, everything we have is free of charge, regardless of what it is. Books, Bibles, New Testament, CDs, DVDs. And says, before I left home this morning, now he was a coach driver, which I was as well. And he says, before I left this morning, he says, something said to me, something is going to happen to you today. I says, that's quite an interesting start off for the Saturday morning. Yes, he says, it was. He says, I'm tired. I'm fed up. There's nothing for me out there. What's this life for? He says, I was brought up in a certain church, which I'll be nameless. I don't want to use any denomination or Christian religion to poke holes at. I don't do that. But he says, I'm not finding anything where I belong to. But he says, can you talk to me? Can you tell me anything? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm looking for life. This man was, I would say, was in his 50s age group. And we talked about an hour and a half.
Wow.
And it came round about the Lord. But he says, that's not my experience. He says, I'm not receiving anything from God. But have you that personal relationship? No, I don't. And how do you get it? So I shared with him what the secret was in life. So I told you about my testimony, how I became a Christian at 17 years old. I was brought up to know the gospel, to know the good news from my mother's knee, should I say. And I was always taught that, according to the scriptures, what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's a command. It does not say it would help you or be better for you, Nicodemus, if you were reborn. And you know, most people know the story. And for ages we talked to him for that hour and a half. I handed him a bag, plastic bag. He lifted this. Something else. Something else. He had a full bag. He had a full bag before he had finished. And at the end of it we said to him, would you like to know the peace of God in your heart today before you leave this truck show? Yes, indeed I would. So, in simple faith, told him about the simple faith in Jesus Christ and to pray and ask God to reveal himself to him and accept Jesus into his life. And it's so simple. That the problem is, I find today, that the gospel is so simple and so many people miss it, because they're expecting to have to give something for it, but it's free, it's already been paid for. And he bowed his head and he asked the Lord Jesus into his life. So he said other things, which we won't go into, about what he was taught, but he went away that day a different man than he came. And I have been in touch with him since. He has, his background is, his parents, as it were, are from the mainland in England. And he goes back and forward, but he is an Irish lad, and it's such a blessing that the angels in heaven rejoiced over another sinner coming to faith in Christ. And it is amazing to see a life change just completely, just straight in front of you. Amen.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Graham, for relating that one to us. I'm quite sure that many others who are listening will have been encouraged and hopefully impacted in that way. What sort of things do you need for Glory Road Ministries to impact more drivers?
Well, I'll tell you something that happened, I'll say this beforehand. When we started up here, I was talking to Keith Crichton, who is the founder of Glory Road in the UK. He encouraged me to go and talk to some of the Holliers, explain what I was doing, so that whenever maybe some of the drivers, their drivers would say I was talking to so and so, that he would they would understand who we were. I visited one chap who I've known for a long, long time, and there'll be no names mentioned because he wanted it to be just a top secret, as it were. He didn't want the publicity over it. And we received a gift of the amount of £5,000 to go out there and buy myself a vehicle that would be appropriate to do the work. I looked around, and it's a story of its own. And I found this vehicle that took a number of months. But it came within £8 short of £5,000. It's well decorated, as it were. well graphed, and it catches the eye no matter where I go. There's only one of these vehicles in Ireland. You couldn't miss it.
Is that the vehicle that I can actually see on your contact details?
Oh, probably, yes.
It is quite amazing. Perhaps you could send us a photograph of that one, please, Graham, and then we can pop it on our website so that people can actually see that, because it's really is quite eye-catching. And I think when you're doing the gospel, not to be ashamed of it, but to make sure that people can actually see it properly.
Yes, I will forward, actually have some on my phone here. I'll forward them to you, each one of them, and you can see for yourself and choose whichever one you want.
Brilliant.
We have on the back doors, on one door it says, how to get to heaven from the Emerald Isle. And then the other door it says, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And driving behind that vehicle with all this on it, you couldn't miss it. And I believe that many people, maybe in eternity, will know the Saviour through seeing those words printed on the back doors of this vehicle.
Yeah.
It has been amazing. I was speaking to a couple from the south of Ireland a few months ago, and we had met them on the road, and on the very front bonnet is Highway to Heaven, and the lady told me, she says, I said to my husband, my goodness, would you look at that bold boy, and then he's not afraid of the gospel and not afraid of the Lord being his saviour. And it's people are driving past me at times on the dual carriageways and motorways, and they slow up and drive along beside me and then give me a wee beep and a horn and sail on, as if to say, praise the Lord, it's good to see you on the highway. And that's what we're there for, that people will be drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit to seeing his word, not me, seeing his word being very much to the fore on that vehicle. We were at a ploughing match one time away at the very beginning and in the south, and I watched people approaching the van, walking on past, still looking, watching, and walking back and forward two or three times.
Yeah.
Am I seeing right? And then they would approach you and, what is it? Tell me all about it. And they were over the moon about what we were doing. And it was fantastic. I believe God is going to do something extraordinary in this land, the Emerald Isle, because of there's a hunger here. There are people looking for life. People are not satisfied
mm-hmm.
with what they have got. And they're looking for someone who is real in the Church of Jesus Christ. And they want to be able to talk and approach. And we have a sign, it's like an A-frame. Are you okay? We're not preaching at them. We're not Bible thumping at them. We're asking a question, and there are people out there who are going through a very interesting, maybe, situation in their life, and they want to talk to somebody. And then down at the bottom says, we care. Would you like to talk? And that is amazing how people, it's like a magnet, is drawing people to have a conversation. In the last show we did in outside Dublin, this man and his son from beside where I come from stopped and had a great conversation and a really good chat. But he had to go from just outside Belfast, near Larne, to the other side of Dublin to have a chat about the Lord. I thought it was amazing.
Now that is amazing, yes. What do you see as the future for GRM, both throughout the UK and certainly in the Emerald Isle? You mentioned something about that already.
We have 23 different languages, European languages, of little booklets, leaflets, and I believe it's an opportunity. We are finding fantastic opportunities from the European drivers. They're very eager to talk, very open to listen, and I believe that they're going back home with the good news to spread amongst their own people in different countries. And I believe it's a beginning of something for Europe, as well as the UK, as well as in Ireland. And I believe if we're faithful, as someone said many years ago, to the blood of Jesus and to the word of God, we shall see things develop. We shall see the hand of God move. But I also believe that the churches today, I'm thinking specifically of my own country, need to rise up and be counted and forget about the differences of what they have, about their doctrine, and see ahead of them souls that need to be saved. People that are hungry. And there is a hunger. There's hardly a week goes past now, but I've even outside what I'm doing, people approaching and talking. What I do in my job at the present time and have done for a number of years now, it's a sideline. The opportunities that arise, ask questions, and it develops. It's like a flower opening up to receive the truth, which is the good news, which is the Son of the living God. And it's a great opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. I'm blessed telling them about it, and I hope they're blessed as they listen and take on board the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't give it up for anything. I've had known the Lord all these years, and I have had experiences with God when I was 19 years old, when I share this a lot with people, that I was lying on my deathbed from meningitis, and I was completely and totally healed overnight. And it's a great testimony, because I believe in the Saviour. He's the Saviour, he's the healer, he's the baptizer, he's the coming king. And I have a great story to tell, and so is everybody else out there that love the Lord in a personal way.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you very much even for sharing that one, and it would be great to get your full testimony. Has that ever been recorded, Graham?
No, I don't think it has been. No.
Well, I think it's well worth recording. Would you come on again and do your testimony for us, please?
Surely. It's amazing what I have to say in this interview, because there's so much I need to tell that will prove that what I am doing at the present time was set aside and told to me in 1972, and I was the Faith Mission Bible College in Edinburgh. So clear. And it's all come into fruition now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent. The final question for this particular interview then, Graham, is how can people get in contact and get involved with Glory Road Ministries?
We're just a phone call away. We've got leaflets made out, 10,000 of them, and we have numbers for here, my own number, and of course the two UK numbers. It's just a matter of making a phone call and then we can follow on from there. Do you want my number?
Yes, please.
Okay. Depending where you are, where you're from, it is 447729, or you can put 07729 720990, and that's for anyone in Ireland or in the UK for that matter. Now the UK numbers are, this is Keith, 0773 025 383, or Matt 07545 810588, 24/7.
Graham, can I thank you very much for coming on today and sharing so widely about your work, not only in the Emerald Isle, but actually beyond as well. And we look forward to hearing your testimony probably in a little while, which we'll be able to broadcast here and podcast through our podcast site.
Thank you very much.
Be able to broadcast here and podcast through our podcast site.
Thanks
very much to Graham Saunderson, and that from Glory Road Ministries. Now, just to give you some of those numbers again, and to get through to Graham Saunderson direct on the Emerald Isle, it's +44 7729 720990. That's +44 7729 720990, especially if you're a lorry driver and really needing a chat, a time, just time out. That is a good number to call if you're in the Emerald Isle. And as you will hear, as you heard in the interview, Graham actually covers north and south and east and west. So it's a huge responsibility, but he does a great job. And you'll see his logoed van. We've got some pictures of that on our website, which we'll give you the details of that in a minute. Also, to give you the rest of the Glory Road Ministry details, the number to call Glory Road 24/7 is 0777 302 5383. That's 0777 302 5383, and the email address is info@ongloryroad.com. That's info@ongloryroad, all one word, .com. And their website is ongloryroad.com. It really is as simple as that. Now, our own website that you can go and find out lots and lots of information about some of the different things that we've been doing, including two testimonies from John Buchan and from Jenny Milne. Lots of people have listened into those already, even though we've just put them up. And our website itself is visit.g4g.org.uk. Our podcast site, absolutely jam-packed with different things, including the podcasts and the testimonies, and also Your Gospel as well. We also have Your Gospel in Swedish. Your Gospel is a project, an ongoing project that we have, and because we're a gospel community station, we're serving communities, recognizing that Aberdeen, for instance, is a multinational city, people from all different nationalities, and as such, they want and need to be able to hear the gospel made relevant to them in their own language. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life, that available to them in their own language. And we've got Swedish, we've got Faroese, we've got Krumbo of Bambalang in Cameroon, as some of our most unusual languages, as well as Russian and Mandarin. Also, as I think we have, will have certainly, we've certainly got Lithuanian as well. And we'd love it if you get in touch with us, info@g4g.org.uk via Facebook page. This program goes out every Friday live between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. on a Friday, and listen again is available through the spoken part, certainly through our website podcast, but also on Saturday and Sunday between 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. I'm going to say bye-bye for now, and we're coming up to Hearing is Believing.